welcome to Taste Test, the premier one and only food podcast from the Georgetown Voice. We are here on Columbus Day weekend for some very exciting food facts, food history, and food tasting. But before we talk about our topic for today, I would like to introduce my two guests by having them introduce themselves. John, why don't you go first?
Thanks for that gracious privilege of letting us introduce ourselves.
Anytime.
I'm John. I'm glad to be back on Taste Test to eat some non-vegan food today. After vegan food last time, that was subpar.
Sorry to hear that. I'm Mike, first time Taste Test member, and very excited about this episode.
Welcome, Mike. You picked a good episode to be on.
Thank you. Your text about an hour ago, with an exclamation point, was all the invitation
convincing.
I needed.
Yeah. Well, as I've mentioned on previous Taste Tests, there is a Taste Test rule that if people buy food for me, I have to eat it. And I have to taste it, and I have to test it. And I was approached, John, by you, saying that you had an idea for a taste test. So why don't you talk about the taste test option for today?
This idea didn't come out of the blue, I wouldn't say. I think, Erica, you kind of asked me if I had any ideas, and
yes.
I presented it to you. So I wasn't so eager as to come screaming at you with it. But I am very excited nonetheless for this episode where we will be tasting chicken nuggets. I think chicken nuggets, I have a lot of fond memories of chicken nuggets. It's just, you know, all the times my mom was like, fuck it, I don't feel like making dinner tonight. Have some chicken nuggets. And I don't think any of us ever complained. So.
I can hear the excitement in your tone. It's like really palpable.
I like chicken nuggets. They're good.
Awesome. Yeah, today's topic is the chicken nugget, and more specifically, since we're lazy, the supermarket chicken nugget, because none of us felt like going to any fast food chain, so that might be a different one. So, as you guys know, there's kind of a schedule that we go by in Taste Test, which is some history, some fun facts, tasting, rating. So, you guys ready for some cool history?
Can't wait.
Great. Let's travel back to the year 1949.
Ooh, good year, good year.
Good year.
Good year. Especially great year for Cornell University because they got a wonderful new faculty member in 1949 named Robert C. Baker. He was a professor of poultry science at Cornell University.
I almost majored in poultry science, actually.
Wow, what? Wait, that seems like a story. Do tell.
No, not really.
Oh.
That was a joke, because I didn't think that was a real major.
I was like, that's really weird that you found this
like niche. Ornithology, but then there's poultry science. I like that there's a difference, though.
Yes.
But as you were saying.
So Robert C. Baker grew up on a farm, and he studied fruit agriculture at Cornell University. He eventually got his PhD in food science, and he returned to Cornell as a faculty member in 1949 as a poultry scientist. And he would do all of these marketing campaigns and kind of food science projects to try to reinvigorate the poultry market. The reason the poultry market was not doing so well in 1949 is because after the war, they had developed increased methods of, genetic modification and feed processes so that poultry cultivation could be increased, but the demand for poultry had dropped. So much of the consumption of chicken was actually from butchers. People would go to the butcher, get chicken, and then they'd either pan fry, roast it at home, and that became a very time-intensive process. And also, besides that, there wasn't really a lot of demand for chicken and other varieties. So Baker wanted to make poultry both more desirable and more accessible for the post-war office goer, something quick and easy. So he started going into the business of making chicken products. And he worked with his graduate students to create chicken nuggets. And in 1963, another great year for the history, actually probably one of the most relevant years for the history of the chicken nugget, it's the creation of the chicken nugget. He worked with his grad student, Joseph Marshall, who was a grad student, and they created the chicken nugget. They used raw chicken with salt and vinegar to get rid of the moisture in the chicken. They then powdered milk. They got powdered milk and grain as binding agents for the chicken, and then they froze it. And then they coated it in egg batter and cornflake crumbs, and then they froze it again. And that was the original recipe for the chicken nugget.
It's really an academic endeavor. Doesn't seem like it requires this many degrees to make this, but good on them. That's a nice, like, grad student thesis.
Well, here's a fun fact. He would work with all of his grad students to create different chicken products. So he's actually the creator of the chicken hot dog, cold cuts, the chicken burger, and chicken meatballs.
Chicken cold cuts, I think he's a revolutionary then, because that's always a surprising
all you eat.
One. Yeah, they're not bad, and I'm like, yeah, like, they should really break into the game with those more. Like, good for them. Interesting, though.
Good to know. You have strong opinions on chicken. You're in the right place.
Yeah.
And a lot of this information comes from a great Slate profile of this guy, and Slate calls him a chicken savant. So we know it's the real deal. So yeah, he created the first chicken nugget, and he actually published his results in a academic journal in 1963, and basically distributed all of this information for free without patenting it. So he made no money off of the original chicken nugget recipe.
No. Dumb decisions, man.
So dumb.
All that chicken money.
So sad.
Production
of knowledge, though. He did it.
Yeah.
So chicken nuggets became really popular with McDonald's in 1977, which is when the first federal government dietary guidelines came out and encouraged people to eat less red meat. So McDonald's was like, oh my gosh, our burger, the sales are plummeting. What do we do? Everyone's in love with poultry now because it's a white meat. So they went into research and development for a new chicken product. And in this process, they hired this chef named Rene Arend, and he was hired to work on a new product, and he started making onion rings and onion nuggets, and the chairman of McDonald's, Fred Turner, mentioned him in the hallway, what about, like, chicken nuggets? And that day, apparently, according to the myth, Rene Arend went into the chicken place, wherever you make the chicken nuggets in McDonald's, I'm assuming that would be the kitchen, and coffee, you know, and he cut up chicken breast, put batter and breadcrumbs on it, and fried it, and that was the original chicken McNugget. And McDonald's wanted to popularize this, because it was really big in kind of the office, but not really, you know, mass marketable yet, because they didn't have the technologies. So they worked with Keystone Foods, which made the frozen burger. And Keystone Foods developed the chopping equipment for the chicken, and then Gorton's, which popularized the fish stick, and worked with Gorton's to make a coating for the chicken. And so they debuted this on a small scale in 1980, and it was a huge hit, so in 1981 it went national, and the rest is chicken nugget history. It's a quick history, it's not that much. It kind of happened within the span of like 30 years.
I'm curious... There was no overlap, though, between the McDonald's development of the McNugget
yeah.
and, like, the original chicken nugget. Like, they probably spent all this money on R&D. They could have just looked for, like, the free chicken nugget recipe that had already been published.
They could have just gone into the Cornell Agriculture Academic Journal section.
Clearly,
very
no one
prominent.
Clearly no one who worked at McDonald's then had a degree in poultry science.
Clearly.
Amateurs.
I also have some fun facts for you guys. So, as you know, there was a huge scandal with the McNugget back in 2003, where there was that video released of pink sludge coming out of a tube, and people were like, oh my god, is that the chicken McNugget?
Yeah.
And in...
Only the finest.
Oh, yeah.
And in the trial over that chicken nugget, a New York State judge called the McNugget a McFrankenstein creation. Now, McDonald's only uses white meat for their chicken nuggets. No more pink sludge.
That's too bad.
It's too bad. Definitely tasted better with the pink sludge.
How do I know the composition of the chicken nugget? Because, fun fact, there is a National Chicken Council
of
that
course
exists
there is.
For evaluating
oh,
poultry
God.
Products.
The Chicken Council? They could have came up with a better name.
No,
actually, maybe they couldn't have. Like,
what bigger party brag is there than, oh yes, I'm a sitting member on the National Chicken Council.
That's how you know you're going to make friends at that party. So, I mentioned the slump in the post-war era of chicken consumption. There was one surveyor at that time who called this chicken fatigue, because everyone was so fatigued by how much chicken was had during the war that they were like, no, we're in chicken fatigue now, was a term used. Let's see, what else? Usain Bolt ate almost 100 chicken nuggets a day at the Beijing Olympics, and he wrote about it in his autobiography, Faster Than Lightning.
Why, though?
That's a great question. I don't know why.
I feel like when you can run faster than anyone else, you kind of are allowed to eat whatever you want.
Yeah, but I don't know. You imagine trying to run with like 100 chicken nuggets in you.
I mean, probably didn't eat them right before.
I don't mean like post, like pre-race.
You would have like 2 20 packs for breakfast. Still, take a quick break. Like run, have some lunch.
I wonder, like, where did he get all those chicken nuggets, though? Was it just, like, a big bowl of chicken nuggets, like, in the Olympic Village?
Yeah, because they hear Usain Bolt
just
Usain
Bolt just, like, grabbing handfuls out at a time and shoving them in his mouth.
These were not McNuggets, though, right?
I think they were, actually. They were chicken McNuggets.
Well, he's shooting for sponsorship so hard then.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, give it to him. He's eating 100 a day.
The fastest person
in
the world should not be eating McDonald's. Like, I just, like, those just seem like...
but it just makes us all
McDonald's
feel worse about
that person. They should be like, we're McDonald's, and we have the healthiest, fastest person in the world eat our food. Like, that's an awful message. That's like doctors smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Usain Bolt eating chicken nuggets, doctor smoking cigarettes. I have another health-related fun fact that I dug up in my search. I found this really long profile of this girl from Birmingham named Stacey Irvine.
Birmingham, Alabama?
No.
England. Okay.
And on February 2nd of this year, she was rushed to the hospital for a chicken nugget-related emergency. She's 17 years old. She had been eating chicken nuggets almost exclusively since she was 2 years old. The doctors called this a chronic chicken nugget addiction, and she would only eat chicken nuggets. She developed severe anemia, extreme vitamin deficiencies, and developed inflamed veins on her tongue from the diet.
So,
tongue veins? Why?
What I'm taking away from this is that you can get addicted to chicken nuggets.
Yeah, apparently you can get really addicted. I mean, there are studies that show you can get addicted to fast food, so it's not too surprising that this girl from eating chicken McNuggets every day since she was two would develop an addiction at some point.
Parents know. Like,
yeah, there was a quote in there where her mom was like, I really hope she gets over this.
Really hope you, I don't know what you
parent
could do.
Better.
You messed, are we allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yeah.
I don't know, you fucked up like 15 years ago. It's over for you. Like, just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe those aren't the funnest facts, but harrowing facts about the chicken nugget. Mm-hmm. It's a hot topic. Some hot takes, hot lifestyle takes out there from Usain Bolt and Stacey Irvine.
Don't. You'll get inflamed. Oh,
what if Usain Bolt gets addicted to chicken nuggets?
Oh, my God.
His career is over.
No. He'll have inflamed tongue veins, and he won't be able to run as fast anymore. Not good.
Mike's shedding
I'm
quiet
just like,
tears
those are the
over
two,
here.
Those are the two big problems, the tongue veins and being slower.
What does a tongue vein flame look like? I don't know. I just...
All right. And I'm going to transition us over to the taste test.
Woo!
All right, John, since you went to the grocery store and picked out the chicken nuggets, why don't you tell us what that process was like and introduce the first chicken nugget selection?
Okay, so... You've got your frozen chicken nuggets and your refrigerated chicken nuggets.
Okay, this
so,
is good to know.
So not, but with refrigerated chicken nuggets, so there's Perdue, pretty big brand of chicken maker. And so when I went to the grocery store, Perdue kind of had the only just refrigerated chicken nugget available. It was Perdue regular chicken nuggets and Perdue dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets.
Classic.
So obviously I got the dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets.
You made a good choice.
Then the only other chicken nugget options were frozen chicken nuggets that kind of always had some kind of spin to them as opposed to just being regular, you know, chicken nuggets. So we have gluten-free chicken nuggets.
Okay.
And then another sort of, like, healthy brand of chicken nuggets, which is, I don't know how healthy they can be, they're chicken nuggets. But that was the spin. So it seems like Perdue, at least, has a pretty strong hold on the standard chicken nugget market.
All right, this is good to know.
So...
Which one do you want to start us out with?
I was thinking we could start with the gluten-free chicken nuggets. These are Earth's Best gluten-free chicken nuggets. Baked gluten-free chicken patties with rice and potato flour coating.
Ooh, that's fun.
They are recommended for ages 2 to 4.
Yeah, it says that on the carton, doesn't it?
Yes, in very, very large letters for ages 2 to 4. On the back in the description, when they mention baked, they have a little like cross, like an asterisk, and it says product is flash cooked in oil before baking.
So it's not baked.
So I think it is baked. It's just also fried, and they choose to mention the one that sounds better, I guess makes sense. There's a nice little maze on the back of the box, which has fruits, vegetables, grains, and chicken nuggets.
The major food groups. They nailed it.
But
all right, why don't we give them a try?
To be honest, when I saw you with all these boxes of chicken nuggets, I thought you were just like having a week where you're only... I didn't know we were even doing a podcast about these. I thought you were just like, I'm going to eat for a week off of only chicken nuggets.
That might be a lot. Yeah. If I were to do that, I would obviously... I don't know. I might have had to get more chicken nuggets. I don't know if this is enough for a whole week, but...
This is not very good.
No.
I'm really underwhelmed.
I'm kind of about it. I don't know.
For a description, it's a nugget. They're very small. I was actually surprised by how small they are. This one's probably, like, an inch by half an inch. Very tiny. I guess that makes sense because they're not for, like, adult
humans. The perfect size for two-year-old fingers.
And the coating has, like, some pepper in it. I can really taste the potato.
Yeah.
And it's off-putting to me.
It's kind of, like, mealy and, like, starchy.
Yeah.
Which is not really what you want in a chicken nugget.
No, not at all.
Soft two-year-old teeth.
It's very soft. Like, you can bite through it easily.
Yeah.
Just things to think about.
Would not... I mean, are people going to be buying these chicken nuggets off our recommendations?
Maybe.
Mom, listen to me. Don't buy chicken nuggets.
They'll be talking about it.
Oh, it's John's like going for number two.
Yeah, I might do that as well. You know, it's like a stale tater tot if someone, like, crams some chicken in the middle.
Just like, here.
I'm like, all right.
No, that's an accurate description. Really not that good. I don't know why I went for seconds.
He says as he sticks another 2 to 4 year old-sized chicken nugget in his mouth. Not as big as a 2 or 4 year old. As big as a chicken nugget for a 2 to 4 year old. All right. I'm assuming this one is... We're going to move on to the next one. I'm assuming this next one is what you were talking about when you said the healthy chicken nugget.
Yeah, it's the healthy brand chicken nugget.
Yeah, so this is Applegate Naturals. I actually buy their cold cuts and sausages, but not their chicken nuggets. So this says no antibiotics used, and it has 2 stars next to it, and it says chicken never administered antibiotics or animal byproducts. Vegetarian grain-fed diet. And then Applegate Humanely Raised with 3 stars next to it, and those 3 stars say, chicken raised on family farms in a stress-free environment that promotes natural behavior and socialization. Yeah. So these are really social chicken nuggets that we're eating.
That's good.
This one does not have an age range on it. It's just Applegate. Their barcode's a barn, which is cool.
That is cool.
Oh, that's fun.
These were in the frozen section, I'm assuming?
They were, yes.
Cool. Let's give them a try.
Yeah.
These are already more crispy on the outside.
That's true.
I like this one more.
Much better.
It tastes more like what I think of when I think chicken nugget. I'm not really enjoying staring at the chicken inside of the chicken nugget. It's kind of like, looks like tuna.
It's true. Mine's kind of watery. I don't know.
Yeah, mine is too.
Yep, I agree.
That could be my improper microwave technique.
That's true. They also were out of the freezer for a bit before being cooked.
That's true. So if we die, you know why.
Thanks, Applegate Naturals.
Thanks, Applegate. They have a great serving suggestion on here, which is just titled Kebabs. And it says, put cooked nuggets on a skewer with chunks of roasted potato or steamed broccoli florets and serve with your favorite dipping sauce.
Don't do that.
Can you imagine how stupid that would look?
For a second.
It's a chicken nugget on a stick.
For a second, I thought they were going to recommend only chicken nuggets. Just put multiple chicken nuggets on a stick and eat them that way.
Put them on a stick. It's different. Danielle and I, Danielle also has strep throat. So, Danielle, we hope you're feeling better.
Feel better.
By the time you listen to this. And so, fun fact, Danielle and I have been talking about creating a dinner party off of Taste Test with every kind of taste test that we do. We say, would this be good for a dinner party? I'm gonna go ahead and say chicken nuggets on skewers would not be great for a dinner party.
No, I would not recommend.
Depends on the ambiance you're going for, I guess.
I think the first one's the one that I just took another one of.
Yeah, Mike's just like slowly eating the
not
first
bad, and like I did, like I'm like, oh, I don't have to make lunch now because I'm on taste test. But I would put
that's
those.
A bad
I would
policy.
Put those on a stick and serve those at a dinner party. And
okay.
More than those, I think.
Okay, why is that?
They innately look less like the everyday chicken nugget.
Yeah, it's their pepper flakes in them.
It's true. You could probably convince someone that you made them.
They do. They look fancier, and they also are slightly... The outside is slightly darker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like, do they don't look like tater tot hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They look a little bit more professional.
If you put like some caviar.
Ooh.
No. I wouldn't eat it, but it would
put
look
like
nice.
A little garnish and on a toothpick with each one. You could convince people that that's something you like.
All right, Mike,
over.
I will call you up for that taste test dinner party, and you will be making the chicken nugget hors d'oeuvres. Okay, our last one is from Purdue, the giant of the chicken nugget industry, and this one's called Fun Shapes, and it's made with 100% all natural chicken with no fillers. And this also has a cross as an asterisk, and it says minimally processed, no artificial ingredients. It has another one that says federal regulations prohibit the use of hormones or steroids in poultry. Cool. That's good to know. These are, of course, dinosaur shapes.
Actually,
I'm curious who came up with the idea for dinosaur shapes.
Me too.
They seem to be an incentive to get maybe, like, young children to eat their chicken nuggets. But why do young children need an incentive to eat chicken nuggets? Because they're already chicken nuggets.
Also, can we talk about the shape of these dinosaurs? I think this is supposed to be a stegosaurus, and it just kind of looks like a walrus lump.
Let's see. I'm going to go for another stegosaurus.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if they didn't clarify that they were dinosaurs, if that would be recognizable immediately. They're very lumpy and hard to distinguish from each other. It just kind of, you got like the long ways dinosaur chicken nuggets and the tall ways dinosaur chicken nuggets. Those are like two different kinds.
I think I like this one the most because of the nostalgia, but that's the only reason. Mike is tossing chicken nuggets to our EIC, who's in the corner
sitting
right
in
now.
In the corner, writing a feature.
All I want to know is, did these chicken nuggets have friends? Because the other chicken nuggets had friends, and that made me feel better.
That's true. I'm a T-Rex, if that gives anyone some more context.
So what do you guys think about the dinosaur chicken nugget versus these other ones that we've tried?
I would think it's definitely got the most chicken-y flavor of the three.
It's a little less artificial than the Applegate one we just had.
Yeah.
That's not a dinosaur.
Tasting, at least. I don't know. I don't know, ingredients-wise, what's going on here. Yeah.
They at least pretend very well that it's chicken.
Floppier than the average.
Yeah, they're big enough to be floppy.
Mm-hmm. The largest chicken nuggets.
Surface area.
Mm-hmm.
I will say.
Deceitful dinosaur shapes.
I like the crispy breading on the Applegate one. I like the chickeny taste of the dinosaur one, plus the nostalgia. And I like the peppery idea on the gluten-free one.
Agreed.
So if we had a peppery, crispy dinosaur chicken nugget, I'd be 200% in. Right now I'm going to say dino nuggets are my favorite, mostly because of nostalgia.
Yeah, agreed.
It's true.
The breading on the dinosaur is kind of, like, I don't know if flaky is the right word, but, like, it doesn't have a lot of hold to it.
Yeah. It's weird. You would expect them all to be crispy. They're not very crispy. Which is upsetting, considering they've been flash fried. But, you know.
Maybe the baking undoes it.
Reheating. What are you going to do? I will say crispiness, go for Applegate. That has the most crisp. If you want just like a little snack, go for the gluten-free 2 to 4-year-old serving size. And if you want just straight nostalgia, dino chicken nuggets.
Mike, you seem to like the gluten-free ones the best.
Personally, I think like nostalgia shapes all about the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
These, the Applegate, the healthy ones, trash. Just like an inferior chicken nugget. I admire their crispiness. Other than that, I think that's some watery chicken, and it looks weird on the inside.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think ambitiousness, go for the 2 to 4-year-old sized potato-based peppery ones.
Okay.
Blanky on the name. I apologize to all the faithful listeners, but...
Earth's Best.
Earth's Best is really the best when it comes to this taste test, but... they were shaped like dinosaurs, I think we'd have something to talk about here.
Maybe. I don't know. The taste of the gluten-free kind of lets me down a little bit. They just don't taste like chicken nuggets. Like,
okay.
They're too potato-y.
Either way, my final suggestion is don't eat chicken nuggets if you're a grown adult human.
That's true. maybe stick 2 to 4 as the prime chicken nugget range.
Yeah, if you're listening and you're 4 years old, go for it. If
Absolutely.
You're 5, you can still swing it. If you're 6, get out of town. Why are you even doing
relax.
This?
Like, you're 6 years old, grow up, stop eating chicken nuggets.
Eat a hot dog.
Right? That's,
eat a cut-up hot dog and macaroni.
That's
Come
a nice
on.
6-year-old food.
All right. Any last thoughts before before I lead us out?
I didn't expect so much diversity in the chicken nuggets. I honestly expected them to be pretty similar, and in some ways they are, but all kind of their own positives and negatives, so I'm glad we got to experience the diverse range that is the chicken nugget market.
Yeah. As am I.
Wonderful. Glad we could provide some new experiences on Taste Test for you.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. If you want to hear more podcasts, kind of like this one, not about chicken nuggets, you can follow us on your favorite podcast app using the Voice Podcast Network as your key in code, i.e. what you type into the search bar. You can also follow us on Twitter at GTown Voice. You can follow us on Facebook at the Georgetown Voice Facebook page. And you can follow me on Twitter at Erica A. Bullock. That's Erica with a K. Bullock like Sandra. If Danielle were here, she would tell me that there was no relation, which there is not. What are you guys' Twitter handles?
Mine is mbergin95, B-E-R-G-I-N.
I'm at John_Block_. That's John with no H.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely. The music today was provided by Ben Sounds. That's Ben, like the name Ben, and Sounds, like music. And other sounds. And a lot of this historical information was provided by two great articles, one from Time and one from Slate. If you're interested in a profile of the man who created the chicken nugget, go to Slate and search chicken nugget, and you will find what you need to find. That's it. Thanks for listening, everyone.
See ya.